We are back here on Sports Talk and getting into a little NBA action. Credentialed writer for the NBA covering the Pelicans, Ollie Cosell, joins us now. Ollie, man, we had the schedule come out yesterday, and NBA training camps will be starting up soon enough. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Steve. Good to join you guys. And yeah, there's always excitement this time of year, right? Because guess what? The records, everybody's tied at zero.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm expecting the Pelicans to have a big year, despite the fact that everybody's seemingly thinking that that hole at center is just too big. I think they can overcome enough.
Yeah, that's a great place to start, I guess. You know, me and Charlie were talking about this. There seems to be a lot of negativity around the team right now just because of the uncertainty at the center position going into this year. And can they really play small ball? And will Zion stay healthy? From your vantage point, at least, what do you feel about the Pels and the overall center position? I know they've got some guys in the mix right now. Do you expect them to be any players to try and make a move going forward?
Yeah, so look, the reason I'm a little more optimistic, I think, than most is because of last year. Jonas Valanciunas' minutes have been trending downwards ever since Willie Green got here. And last year, I think he averaged less than half the game, right? It was about 23 and a half minutes. But the last 2 months or so, I think it was right around 20 minutes or maybe even less per game. So they weren't relying on a traditional center. And then remember, this team won 49 games. They were winning games without having that legitimate 7-footer, 250-plus guy. They relied a lot on Larry Nance. They relied on a lot of other guys, smaller lineups. And that's why I said it gives me hope, because the way Willie Green likes to play and the strategies he utilizes is basically made for small ball. He wants the versatility, right? He didn't want a scoring center. He never utilized Valanciunas unless a lot of guys were out. We all saw that. So that's why I think Daniel Theis actually makes for a better fit. I wish there was maybe two of them, right? Because behind him, to answer your question even further, I don't know who you can rely on. I feel like Trey Jamison, who is signed to a two-way, he's kind of the backup to Theis for right now. If something happens to him, well, there's your other big body, because we know Missy's not going to be ready. But maybe the hope is that he can get some minutes toward the end of the, you know, next season, simply because he's supposed to be a quick learner. I don't know. But the biggest thing I'm watching is who is going to be that small ball center for the Pelicans when they don't go truly small, right? When they're out there with, say, Zion, Trey, and Herb at the forward and center positions. Is it going to be Carlo Matkovich, or is it going to be Jeremiah Earl Robinson? I think, honestly, we're going to get the answer to that maybe in preseason. I think that position is up for grabs. If Carlo plays like that one game he did in summer league, he might have the inside, step, so to speak. But if not, then I think it'll be Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and I'm curious if that guy can handle serious minutes. He showed us something in glimpses, right? He could hit a three. He was definitely a lot more mobile. But again, yeah, we'll have to see, right? It's an experiment. It's not ideal not having a center, but I'm not, like I said, the walls aren't coming down. You know, the sky isn't crashing.
Yeah, Ollie, 68 days until the opener, which is just, it feels like a long time.
Who's counting, though, right?
It's going to sneak up on us. I can't wait. But with the Pelicans schedule, I want to break it all down with you because I think there's a lot of interesting stretches here. But first and foremost, I want to talk about the NBA Cup because they obviously rebranded from the in-season tournament. That's what the NBA Cup is. But the Pelicans, this West Group C really feels kind of like the group of death, Ollie. I mean, you're playing Denver at home, and then you're playing at Dallas, you're playing at home against Golden State, and then at Memphis. Those four games all take place basically in a two-week stretch in November. I mean, those are some tough opponents in the Western Conference that you're having to go against. And I know that David Griffin said that 14 of the 15 teams in the West are going to be trying to win games this upcoming season. So the West in general is just going to be really tough. But at the same time, it feels like the Pelicans got a really tough draw with, you know, Denver, Dallas, Golden State, and Memphis.
Yeah, as far as that cup, I mean, yeah, the road couldn't be any more difficult. And I'm sure those four other teams, the ones that are in that same bracket, feel the same way, right? So it's going to be just almost whoever gets lucky, right? Because in such a small sample size, you can't say that the best team's going to come out of it, right? It's just five games against a different opponent. So, yeah, I mean, look, Denver and Jokic, nothing else needs to be said there, right? Three-time MVP. We know what Steph Curry does, right, for a living, because we just saw in the Olympics. So Golden State's not going to be a pushover, even though they don't have Klay Thompson. And then, of course, there's Dallas. Hey, they were in the finals. And then Memphis, boy, I'll tell you what, if anybody's going to set the world on fire this year, I'm expecting for B. John Morant. Zion Williamson's going to try and make a point, right? I feel like, because I've heard nothing but good things this summer, but man, he hasn't gone through what John Morant has. So, yeah, Memphis, I expect them to maybe contend for the top four again in the West.
Yeah, I want to look into the schedule because, you know, I highlighted those four games that are all in November, and there's that stretch, right? Like, you start the season against Chicago, and then you have back-to-back, you know, roads matchups against Portland twice, and then Golden State twice, and then you have those four home games, Indiana, actually five basically in six, because the stretch I want to talk about is the back half of November. Five home games and six matchups. You play Indiana, Atlanta, Portland, Cleveland, and then at Orlando, and then at home against Brooklyn. Brooklyn, we're expecting to be kind of one of the bottom tier teams in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. But then after that, that stretch, Ali, it's basically nine games at the end of November.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Oklahoma City on the road, at home against Denver, at home against the Lakers, at Dallas, at Cleveland, at home against Golden State, at Indiana versus Toronto, and then at Memphis. That seems like a gigantic stretch, just early on in the season too, where you're going to learn a lot about this team, I think, pretty soon.
You will, and that's why it's going to be so important before that stretch comes up to get off to a really good start. Like, for instance, when I look at the first 10 games, I can easily envision this team starting off, say, something like 7-3, right? Portland's not supposed to contend, even though you're going to get every young team's best shot, right? It's best to play those type of teams towards the end, right, when teams are kind of tanking. But again, Portland shouldn't present a problem. Golden State has no size. You're not worried there. Same thing with Atlanta. They just seem middling. I don't know if they've done enough this summer. So really none of those matchups scare you, like I said, until you get to Cleveland, right? And that's where I think we're going to learn more than anything. Can the Pelicans play undersized, right? Because up until that game, I'm not too worried about anybody they face. Like DeAndre Ayton with Portland, he doesn't play physical. You're not worried about Vucevic with Chicago, right? He's kind of a stationary guy. But once you get to Cleveland, they've got those twin towers. Orlando, their size has always given the Pelicans problems, especially last year. And then you just go down that list. Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic. I mean, it's tough. So I'm curious. That's what I'm going to be looking for, especially during that stretch.
Yeah, and then go ahead.
Do that well, right? Then I think Daniel Tice, maybe they'll be more comfortable kind of standing pat or maybe not being so active before the deadline. But if that's, you know, say they fall flat on their face and size is a problem, they're getting killed on the glass, then that stretcher will reveal they need to make a move.
And then, Ali, I wanted to jump into February real quick because I think it's an interesting one, too. I mean, it's 11 games. Yeah, I mean, it's all against Western Conference opponents, though. All 11 of those games. At Denver twice. You play Sacramento in three or four games, two of them at home. You play OKC. You play at Dallas. You play San Antonio twice at home. And then Phoenix twice on the road. A lot of, you know, Cullen pointed this out to me, that there's a lot of series where you'll play, like, teams basically back-to-back. I think they call it, like, the MLB series, where you have, like, a series against a team where you play multiple games at a certain spot. It happens a few times in February, but just that 11-game stretch, all against Western Conference opponents, I think is pretty interesting.
That's the scariest part. That's the first thing I always look for when I see a schedule. I look and try and find the most difficult portion. And I feel like the last two games of January, playing Dallas and Boston, then everything you just mentioned in February. And if you think about it, after Dallas and Boston, you're playing 18 straight games against the Western Conference. I don't think I need to remind people, but I will anyways. The top 10 teams in the West, right, all the ones that made the playoffs and the play-in tournament last year, everybody finished at least 10 games over 500. So when you say you're going to play 18 straight games, yeah, that's the meat, honestly, of the schedule. That's the part you've got to somehow get through it as best as you can. So that's the one I'm most afraid of, Charlie, yeah. And to your point about the baseball series, right, where you're playing the same team twice, yeah, the Pelicans had five of those type of scenarios last year. This year, it's 10. That's a lot more. So if you have, say you're missing, say, Zion, B.I., or your team's just not playing well, and suddenly you're playing against a team that you might need a tiebreaker over, that's a bad time to drop two straight, right?
Looking at the Western Conference, Ali, I was talking with Charlie before you came on, and it's like, I don't really see any drop-off from any of these playoff teams, and there's could be some more potential, you know, teams vying for a spot. Obviously, a team like Memphis, the San Antonio Spurs, we'll see how much they can progress. But the competition just in the Western Conference is really absurd when you start to break it down. I just don't curious to see if you think any of these teams from a year ago that did make the postseason will have a major dip at all.
I'm a little worried about Denver. You know, Jamal Murray hasn't looked like himself, and he definitely didn't this summer, right, playing for Canada. So that's raising an eyebrow. Also, especially the Clippers. You know, I think Paul George not being there it's going to be a big deal, because when's the last time Kawhi Leonard made it through, say, 65, right, 70 right. games, right? It's been such a long time. And you know James Harden can't carry a team anymore. So I feel like if any team, say, that made the playoffs last year, I think they're the most likely to slip on down. Then, of course, the Lakers, right? AD, LeBron, if they can stay healthy. I mean, they were healthy last year, and that team only won 47 games, largely the same roster. But, no, Clippers is the one I think that can slip. And, you know, I just mentioned earlier, Memphis is coming. I'm penciling right. them in the top 10 for sure. So I don't know who you want to take out. I guess it might be the Clippers. But, hey, it's really going to come down to injuries, those guys, right? We always know that a couple of teams always get hit hard with them, and those are the ones that usually slip down out of the race.
I'm bullish on the Memphis Grizzlies too, Ali, but at the same time, one of those teams maybe that could slip up a little bit is Golden State. Like, I mean, they've been pretty mm-hmm. quiet this offseason, I think, whereas they've kind of thrown their name into the hat for multiple different players. We all know that they were in full, like, full-court pursuit of Lauri Markkanen, and that just didn't work out. So maybe the Warriors could be a team that potentially slips up a little bit. But then you're looking at the teams that didn't make the playoffs or the play-in tournament out of the West last year, like the Rockets and the Spurs, mm-hmm. like teams that have gotten better this offseason that are going to be trying to push their chips to the center of the table to at least make the play-in tournament. I mean, once again, if you're looking at the back end of, you know, the play-in tournament standings, kind of who's going to figure out that 8, 9, 10 spots, it's going to be super competitive once again. It's just the West is such a gauntlet.
Yeah, it feels like out of the 15 teams, you can only pencil in Portland, right, not making, say, even the play-in tournament, and probably the Utah Jazz, right? Yeah, I think they've made it clear. We know the way Danny Ainge operates. He wants Cooper Flagg. He wants to nail a draft pick or two in the next two upcoming drafts. So that's a team that, again, might start off kind of decently. Everybody talk about them, but he's going to pull out the rug out from underneath all those guys, and they're going to tank. But other than that, yeah, Houston, I mean, what they do. 41-41 last year, 500 ball. They could take, you know, Jalen Green, several of their other young guys could take a step forward. They could sneak in the play-in tournament. Spurs, too. Victor Wembanyama, he's knocking on the door and being, what, top 10 player in the NBA. I mean, scoring 26 points against the U.S. men's basketball team, right? U.S. superstar Laden team. That was impressive. And we saw he finished the season strongly last year, too. I agree with you, Charlie. I'm worried about Golden State Warriors. They went full court press, not only on Markkanen, but also Paul George. They know they need another guy. They're susceptible to slipping out, too. I should have mentioned them. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it's just a couple of those teams. But at the same time, it's just going to be so competitive because these teams that didn't make it that you see improving are going to be right there. And the Grizzlies, I mean, that's a team that definitely worries you just based off of their ceiling with someone like Ja Morant. The last question I had about the schedule is that you always want to look at the end, too. And the April slate, I think, is also kind of tough. Like, you have two games in L.A. against the Clippers and Lakers back-to-back, at home against Orlando, who the Pelicans struggled with this past year, at Brooklyn, which is kind of the one kind of slip-up game there that you feel pretty decent about, at Milwaukee, and then you wrap up the season in the Smoothie King Center at home against Miami and OKC, finishing the season, obviously, with one, basically the team that everyone is kind of early preseason penciling in as the number one team in the Western Conference. I'm interested mm-hmm. to see your thoughts on the April slate as they kind of close out the season, and if you think that if that slate is kind of favorable, I guess you would say.
Charlie, I personally hate it. There's too many Eastern Conference matchups there, right? Usually you're jockeying for position. Almost every team is, outside, like I said, the ones that you know just aren't going to make the playoffs or the play-in tournament. But you have a chance to really improve your standings because you're facing a lot of the Western Conference teams, like Pels have done last two, 3 years, but not this year, right? Four of the last five against the East. So if they need to, you know, either maintain a position or move up, need some help, it's going to be a lot tougher this year in trying to do it yourself. So hopefully before you get to April, they will have kind of cemented, right, their place in the standings and not have to worry about, you know, okay, we've got to overtake this team. Good thing we're playing them, because that's not happening this year.
Ali, looking at the Pelicans training camp, you know, the Saints hit the road this year. We're out in California. They're coming back next week. But the Pels will be in Tennessee for training camp this year.
I like it. I like that they're going to be somewhere else. And, of course, they've been up in Nashville before. So I think this works out. You know, a lot of staff's familiar with the city. Some of the players, right, that were there for that, too. And I just think it's always good, right, for bonding type of, right, you know, things. You just want to be able to get away. So you're going to spend more time than usual because you're not going to your house. You're going to be more amongst teammates. And, you know, there's only, I mean, 9 players are carrying over from last year, which is a decent sum, but again, you've got to now incorporate who's going to be a big part of it, DeJounte Murray. And then there's a lot of other guys too, right? You're still trying to figure out that center position, how to play. I like it. I like getting away. I think that will help and it'll be beneficial.
Ollie, are there any other slates from the schedule, you know, that leak tomorrow that you're keeping an eye on too, obviously, outside of, you know, what we talked about with February, April, and then, you know, the in-season tournament stuff in November?
I think we nailed it, right? You got to get up to a good start because that's what the schedule is kind of giving you, right, that runway. And then, of course, yeah, it's that meat. Can they stay healthy? Can we get another 70 games out of Zion Williamson, please? That would be immense, right? And then, yeah, I mean, other than that, there's not much. The only thing we don't know yet, we only know 80 games, right? In December, because of that in-season tournament, you still need to figure out two more games. So if the Pelicans, of course, move on, get to play in Las Vegas, well, that's how they're going to pick up the extra games because they advance in the in-season tournament. But if they didn't, I'm curious who those two matchups will be for them. What is that? I think the middle of December, two more games will be added one way or the other.
Definitely appreciate the time, Ollie. We'll be talking to you soon. So looking forward to the countdown to that season. And, yeah, Chicago Bulls opening up at home this season opener, October 23rd. Can't wait to be in that number. Know we'll be seeing you out there. Thanks a lot, Ollie.
Absolutely, Steve. Charlie, you guys have a good weekend.
Take it easy, Ollie. 68 days.
68 days away.
I said it wrong. 68 days, but who's counting? I am.